since fall is here, I was driving here and my truck temperature gauge read 42 degrees. So fall is here. It's harvest time, maybe a little past harvest time, but this story seemed appropriate. It seems that a farm boy had accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn. And the farmer who lived nearby heard all of the noise and all of the commotion, and he looked over and he saw the boy with the overturned wagon of corn, and he said, "Hey, Willis, forget your troubles. Come in and have dinner with us, and then I'll come over and help you get your wagon upright." "Well, that's mighty nice of you, but I don't think Paul would like me to." "Oh, come on," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," the boy finally agreed, but he added, "Paul won't like it." After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. "I feel a lot better now, but I know Paul is going to be real upset." "Oh, don't be foolish," the neighbor said with a smile. "By the way, where is he?" The young boy replied, "Under the wagon." So even though today's sermon is going to be a little bit shorter because we're celebrating communion, I have a lot to say because we're kicking off a brand new worship series that's called Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, I was thinking as Jane was reading the scripture, it's interesting how you can be studying a section of scripture. I've been studying this not only this week, but for a couple weeks getting ready for this, and I have something in my mind. But when you hear it from somebody else, you think of different things. And sometimes God will bring other images into you. And so what I wanted to say that I had not planned on saying was that scripture in John is during the Last Supper, right? So it was during him breaking the bread and sharing the wine with his disciples. And his message to them is the same message he has for us today. The world is broken, and there's going to be trouble, and there's going to be heartache, and there's going to be floods and hurricanes and earthquakes, and people are going to get sick, and people are going to get angry and fight each other and kill each other. But it's okay, because I have overcome all of that. And when I do that, I glorify my Father. And when I glorify my Father glorifies me. And so as we talk today about dancing with the stars and what's that mean, we're going to look at God's very nature and his essence, which is one of love and one of kindness and one of mercy and joy and even friendship. That's his message to us today. I've overcome the world, and if you trust in me, it's going to be okay. And it's going to be better than okay. So that was a little bonus material there. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 4, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." I find it helpful to remember that the primary reason Jesus came to earth was not to save you and me. That the primary reason Jesus came to earth was not to fix and restore the world. That the primary reason Jesus came to earth was not to be the atonement for our sins. And that the primary reason Jesus came to earth was not to preach and teach or to even love. And I know that may contradict some of the things that you have heard in the past. Stay with me. The primary reason Jesus came to this earth was to glorify his heavenly Father. Now, in some ways, he did that by saving us and restoring the earth and atoning for sin and teaching and preaching and loving. But the focus has always been and always will be on God the Father. And perhaps the biggest mistake that we can make as individuals and we can make as the church is to take that focus off of God the Father and put it on us. Jesus came to glorify his heavenly Father. Why? Let me try to answer that question with an illustration. Have you ever run into an old friend who you haven't seen in a long, long time? And you instantly get a smile on your face and your heart bursts with happiness. And you remember feelings of love and of acceptance, of being cherished. When I was writing these thoughts down and I wanted to express them to you, I was thinking of some dear friends in my life and how I would like to see them and how happy I would be. I was thinking of some friends who are no longer here on earth and how excited I am to see them someday. That feels good, doesn't it? I want you to take that feeling and I want you to multiply it by a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand. Got that? Got that? Okay. Should be one big ball of warm fuzzies. That is the love that God feels for his son Jesus. Now we know that God loves Jesus, right? We were taught that from the first minutes that we are in church. God loves Jesus. But it's so much more than that. God adores his son, Jesus. He cherishes his son, Jesus. God gushes over about his son, Jesus. It's entirely possible when we die and go to heaven, we are going to meet God, and God is going to take out his heavenly wallet and take out his pictures of Jesus. Let me show you what my boy Jesus has done lately. Here is him turning water into wine. Here's him walking on water. Check that one out. Here is him healing the blind man. Check that out when he spit in the mud. Isn't that cool? God adores his son Jesus. God's heart bursts for Jesus. And here's the thing. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows this because he's part of the Father. They're connected. He feels this. So Jesus' true heart's desire is to return that love. Does that make sense? Can you think of somebody in your life who loves you like that? Unconditionally. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child, right? There's somebody who just loves you no matter what. Don't you want to give that love back? Don't you want to do everything in your power to take care of them and to praise them and respect them, keep them safe? Everything that you can. Now, this feeling of love that God has for Jesus and this feeling of love that Jesus has for God also is the same kind of love both of them have for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows this because the Holy Spirit is part of Jesus and is part of God. So the Holy Spirit feels this love. He can feel this affection, this adoration, this respect. And so the Holy Spirit wants to return this. So God the Father loves his son Jesus, and Jesus loves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves God, and this love goes round and round and round. The ancient church had a word for this. That's called perichoresis. Peri, it's a Greek word, so the beginning of that means around. The second part, kerein, means to make room for. And this word, perichoresis, was used to describe the relationship of the Trinity, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think it gives this great picture of the nature of God. Peri, around, each member of the Trinity is circling around the other two. Chorein, to make room for. So they're making room for each other. And so if God the Father, as they are circling around each other, God the Father gets a little bit too close to Jesus in the circle, Jesus, out of love, out of respect, out of kindness, says, "That's all right, Father. I will just move a little bit over here." And if Jesus steps a little bit further into the center than he normally would, the Holy Spirit would say, "That's all right, Jesus. Perfectly fine. I'll just move a little bit over here." And if the Holy Spirit decides to suddenly change direction, because that's what the Holy Spirit does sometimes, if you haven't noticed, God the Father would say, "That's quite all right, Holy Spirit. I will just adjust my direction accordingly." And so they go around, and they're circling, and they're circling. And when one feels moved to do something a little different, right, the other ones adjust, and they're circling. And you could say that this movement looks like a dance. And in fact, the most common image used to describe this word, perichoresis, is a dance, the dance of God, the dance of love. It's a loving, kind, creative, joy-filled, abundantly spontaneous dance, which is why we name this worship series Dancing with the Stars. The stars would be our Heavenly Father, His Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So now here's something to realize. In this dance, the primary nature of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is relational. In other words, the focus is always on the other. So God the Father is always looking at His Son Jesus. He's always looking at the Holy Spirit. And He's anticipating where they're going to be and adjusting accordingly. If they go left, He goes a little bit left. If they go right, He goes a little bit right. They go up, He goes up. They go down, He goes down. Just like any good dance partner, His primary goal is to make them look good. Another way to put it, and another way to explain God's primary goal, is His goal is to glorify Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, while He's doing this, while He, as they're circling around and He's constantly paying attention to Jesus, He's constantly paying attention to the Holy Spirit, meeting their every need, anticipating their every need, respecting them, honoring them. What's Jesus doing? The same thing. He's doing the same thing, and He's watching God the Father, and He's watching the Holy Spirit. And He's anticipating what they need, and He's lifting them up so they look good. That's why in John 14, 13, He said, "Whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And I'm not going to go into it now, but as Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, as He was explaining to His disciples, "Hey, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and it's going to appear not to end well, right? I'm going to be killed in the most gruesome way. Why? So that God the Father can be glorified through what I am doing, through the transcendence of the crucifixion, through transcending death, through showing everybody what? That I have overcome trouble. That I've got this. It's going to be okay. While he's doing that, while he has his eyes on the Holy Spirit and while he has his eyes on the Heavenly Father, what's the Holy Spirit doing? I heard it. The same thing. The exact same thing. Because it is the Holy Spirit's deepest desire in its essence, in its heart, to love God the Father, to love God the Son, Jesus. And all he wants to do is glorify them. Through this dance, the primary intent of the Trinity, of each member of the Trinity, is to serve the others, anticipate their needs, anticipate what they like, what they find joy in, and create that. The primary intent is to love the others. The primary intent is to glorify the others. Now we get to the point, this is my favorite point in the sermon, where we get to the so what. Why should you care? Now I know most of you are too holy to say what's in it for me. I know that. But there might be just one of you who are saying, well, how can I apply this to my life? You know? There is no I in team. There's no I in the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity. No, there's two. How does this apply? Well, it applies kind of what I started this off with. Whenever we think of God, we should start with that love. This is their essence. This is the essence of the God that we worship, that we seek to glorify. Before the universe was created, God was. God was with Jesus. Jesus is eternal with God, with the Holy Spirit. They have always existed. Before the universe existed, it was just them. You know what they did? They danced. And they loved. They loved each other. And there was adoration, and there was respect, and there was kindness. That is the essence of our God. That is his essence. That's who we worship. So, how does this apply? It applies when we're going through hardship, when we're going through challenges, when we're in the valley, and whether or not you really want to admit this, right? Some of us ask, why is God doing this to me? Or why is God allowing this? Where is God? Does God even care? When we have those questions, when we have that doubt in our hearts, we can go back to the dance. We can go back to the nature of who God is. Love and kindness and mercy and respect. And that when we hurt, God hurts. When we suffer, God suffers. This is not his plan. The brokenness in this world, us turning away from him, us sinning. None of this is his plan. His heart breaks for us and with us when this happens. He's going to fix it. He's going to make all things new eventually. I don't know when. He didn't tell me that this morning when I was praying. But I know that he will, because he is kindness and he is mercy and his love. Romans 8:28 says, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And even though we might not be able to see it, we might not be able to feel it, we can believe it, and that is the beginning of faith. And our faith is always strengthened when we understand who God really is. Please pray with me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we come to you humbly this morning asking to be invited into the great dance, into a glorious relationship with all of you. We pray this specifically in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.